This Saturday could be the start of a major change in Irish life. Listen to this. Why? Well, the first meetings of the Citizens' Assembly on Drugs Use will have its first meeting in what could be a major revamp of drug policy in this very country. So one person who will be watching with interest is Dr. Ian Marder from Maynooth University School of Law and Criminology, and he's on the line now to explain all. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Jen. Not too bad, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. Listen, first of all, thank you so much for taking the call and explaining what the hell is going on. Can I ask you, first of all, what do we know about what will be discussed at the Assembly during the coming months before it's reported at the end of the year? What are they talking about exactly?
So we don't have exact details yet, as far as I know, of the schedule and the guest speakers and that kind of thing. But we have a little bit of information from the terms of reference. And it seems to be quite broad. So they're talking about the drivers of drug use, the harm that drugs cause, best practice in rehabilitation, and that kind of thing. And I mean, for me, that's context. You know, we really know a lot of that stuff. And the Citizens' Assembly should be focusing on these more difficult questions around the legal framework. So in theory, they're going to look at this as well, sort of, you know, the effectiveness of current strategies and policies, international best practice. And also, they say, the opportunities and challenges in an Irish context of reforming law, strategy and policy.
Do you think they will discuss that and look at other countries?
So. I think there would be no credibility if they didn't. So I really think not only I do think they will look at that, but really I think that needs to be the main focus. I mean, the Citizens Assembly has this opportunity to take an objective stance, to look at research on law reform, the impact of law reform in other countries where they've been doing things differently, and see what would be the best legal framework for Ireland based on that.
Okay. And Ian, who's in this Citizens' Assembly? What is it? What kind of people is it made up of?
It's randomly selected, more or less, I think, from the population. So, I mean, they send letters out to people and people express an interest in participating.
Okay. What are the most interesting approaches taken in other countries who have reformed their approach to drug laws in recent years? Can you tell us?
Absolutely. So, I mean, there's lots of different things that countries have done around law reform and around policy and services as well. So, I mean, one of the most famous ones is Portugal, where in 2001, all drugs were decriminalized for personal use. But then, you know, other countries have legalized certain drugs for recreational use, such as cannabis in Canada. And other countries have brought in harm reduction services, such as heroin-assisted treatment in Switzerland. So there's a lot of different things that countries can do to try and reduce the harm caused by drugs.
Okay. And since these have been in place, do we know, have they worked? Has drug use gone down? Has it improved? Reform, how has it worked out for these countries?
Yeah, so I mean, in Portugal, we have quite a lot of data because they brought that in 2001. And we know that drug-related deaths plummeted. We know that the number of people sentenced to prison for drugs has fallen. And we know that rates of drug use have remained consistently below the EU average.
Wow.
So decriminalizing drugs in Portugal has not led to an increase in use. And the harms caused by some of the most addictive or harmful drugs have decreased as well. Much, much lower rates of new cases of HIV, of other diseases that you can get from sharing needles and this kind of thing. And most importantly, perhaps drug-related deaths, as I say, plummeted upon decriminalization.
Wow. Okay. Can you just explain what is the difference between legalization and decriminalizing drugs?
Yeah, so I mean, you could have a vast range. There's a spectrum of legal frameworks for, you know, any substance that you have, from an absolute free-for-all where anyone can, you know, obtain anything. And, you know, really, there's very few things, if any, that actually work like that. Like even, you know, alcohol, nicotine, these things are heavily regulated. But decriminalizing would mean that if you are caught with some on you, you can't get done for that in the criminal courts. You can't get sentenced in the criminal courts for that. Now, in Portugal, where they have that system, like, they still take it from you, and you are referred to a health intervention, but you don't get done if you
you don't have to go to court, like, you don't do time. So if someone is walking, is a user and let's say has heroin on them, and obviously if they have a problem and they're stopped by police, the police will take that drug off them and what did you say, send them to
them,
refer them?
Yeah, refer to a health-based intervention. So the idea is that you want to help people reduce problem use of drugs, and really you need people to feel that they're not being judged, that they're not being stigmatized. You want people to engage with those services voluntarily in order for them to have the greatest impact.
Yeah.
Now then, in terms of legalization, again, like, that's a lot of different things. Like, people hear the word legalize and they think it's going to be like available in shops and all this kind of thing. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, you know, for example, right now in Ireland, morphine is legal, but you can't just get morphine. It can only be, you know, obtained and administered under strict clinical conditions on the basis of prescription. So if you were to have something like heroin-assisted treatment, whereby people who have a long-term addiction to heroin, they have not necessarily responded to other, you know, services, other ways of trying to improve their health or harm reduction, you could actually have some form of heroin on prescription that is taken in a clinical setting, right? So that would be legal. That would be that heroin can be obtained legally, but it doesn't mean that it's just going to be in shops and this kind of thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Speaking of services there, and depending on what kind of policy changes are brought in by government, what kind of services might be needed that aren't currently widely available here?
Well, it's all about investment in those health-based services.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already know that, you know, in Ireland, community mental health treatment, all sorts of healthcare, there is insufficient investment in these things. But more specifically, in terms of responding to problem drug use or reducing the harm caused by drugs, you would want to see supervised injection sites, heroin-assisted treatment, needle exchanges. And some of these are things that exist at some level in Ireland. For example, there is a pharmaceutical called naloxone that helps people who are overdosing at that time. You can save people who are having an overdose. And some services have some access to that. But because drugs are illegal and because we have this assumption of zero tolerance, it's actually very, very difficult to get access to those pharmaceuticals that we know can save people's lives. And even, you know, there's been this a big challenge around opening the supervised injection site on the Keys. Like, that is something that, you know, under a proper system of health-based interventions, not only would you definitely have that, but you'd have several of them. You'd have them in different places. Like, it can't just be that people who are in Dublin receive all the help and people in other parts of the country don't.
So why do you think that this is something that is being debated by a citizens' assembly rather than just being brought about by government policy?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I suppose, you know, to be generous to it, you could say that there's lots of different options. It is relatively complex, not in terms of, you know, which changes would reduce harm, because there's lots of different things that we could do that would reduce harm and would be a better legal and policy framework. But I suppose you could say that, you know, which of those we opt for, you know, there's questions there, and, you know, it's important to have these things democratically and openly debated. But then you could say that about lots of different things, right? And I mean, you could argue that we have Department of Justice, Department of Health, we have TDs, you know, to look into these things and make decisions for us. But I suppose, to be less generous, citizens' assemblies seem to be used a bit for, you know, these big social changes that we know need to be made, that are in a way really obvious that something needs to change, but they're politically a bit difficult to do. So it's easier to kind of hide behind recommendations of a citizens' assembly and say, well, that gives us the backing to make this change that, you know, frankly, we probably already knew we needed anyway.
Yeah. So they're biding time. They're buying time, so they don't have to deal with the issue, really.
A little bit. But I mean, you know, also, in a way, I'm not opposed to that, because, yes, it would have been great, you know, for government departments and ministers to have just sat down, looked at this, brought in the changes that we need. But, you know, a citizens' assembly in principle is not a bad thing, because it's, you know, it's meant to be open, transparent, like they're going to hear from lots and lots of experts, and it's about depoliticizing this.
Okay.
And we certainly know that one of the big barriers to drug reform all over the world has been the very political nature of it.
I mean, Ireland is a really small country, so realistically, are we just so dependent on what bigger countries do and waiting for more people to be like Portugal and more countries to be like Portugal for us to go, okay, so the whole of Europe, the United States, Russia, they're all doing this, because we're always kind of last to get on board with these things, aren't we? So do you predict that's how it's going to go, or are you positive that we might be able to make some change in the next 20 years?
Oh, yeah, I think that change is inevitable at this point, because there are more and more countries making this change. It is simply no longer credible, if it ever was credible, to say that the criminal justice response to drug use is the right one.
Mm.
It absolutely fails on its own terms. You know, criminal penalties do not deter people from taking drugs. Being sentenced just perpetuates the same social harms that causes, you know, problem drug use in the first place. And, you know, the war on drugs is not just something that affects users in the country that they use. But I mean, you know, murder rates in Central America, all of these things are a direct consequence of criminalizing drugs. So absolutely, things do need to change and will change. In terms of Ireland, I mean, Portugal's a small country, too. You know,
yeah.
They really put their head above the parapet, I suppose, by bringing this in. But, you know, I mean, just today or yesterday, Germany has outlined its plans to potentially legalize cannabis in a certain, you know, regulated way. You know, there's lots and lots of countries in Europe are looking at decriminalization in one form or another. So I think in a way, like probably at some point, you know, the EU at some level will just say, yeah, so this is probably what we need to do, you know, across the continent. But in the meantime, I think absolutely, like, the Citizens Assembly, because of its nature, gives us a big opportunity to, you know, see what it recommends and then to make changes based on that.
Ian Marder from NUI Manu, thank you so much for taking the call to tell us all about the Citizens Assembly on Drug Use. It's happening, starting on Saturday. And just to let you guys know, this is the first of a number of chats we will be having about how drugs affect us over the next few Thursdays. We're going to do it every Thursday on the show. I hope you enjoy that. That was fascinating, I thought.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.